Are you interested in starting your own cash PT practice? Maybe a little side hustle practice right now because you're bored with what you do at work and you're seeing massive volumes of patients. I found the most success by going this route through a practice in a gym. And this is why I started the Gym PT Blueprint. The Gym PT Blueprint is really a program that shows you exactly how to be successful in the cash model, whether it's a side practice or you're diving head first like I did. This shows you exactly how to set your finances up correctly, how to set your practice up correctly, how to sell things, how to market yourself, and how to really convey your unique value to other people so that they'll want to pay you for it. If you are struggling to figure out how to set your practice up correctly, or if you're in practice and you're not making at least five figures a month at this point, you really should check out the Gym PT Blueprint. Head over to drdannymattei.com/products. That's drdannymattei.com/products to take a look at the Gym PT Blueprint and see how this program can help you become successful. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name is Danny Mattei, and welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. All right, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And I got my buddy Zach Long on today, aka the Barbell Physio. Which did anybody just call you that now?
Man, on the first time I was on the Doc and Jock podcast, you said the Barbell Physio, aka Zach Long. So
I remember that.
You were the first person.
You brought that up. When we were in Asheville at the Clinical Athlete Summit, and then we drank like all day and decided to do another podcast. And then go back out and get some pizza and then continue to drink a bunch of beer the rest of the evening. That was a long day.
You've got to drink beer if you're in Asheville, North Carolina. It's the beer city.
I tell you what, man, place. It's great, right? What's the last one we went to was Wicked. Is it Wicked Weed? I think was the name of it.
Yeah, we ended at Wicked Weed.
What a cool spot, man. I gotta get back up there. I actually got a buddy that just moved there. So maybe we have to do a round two, meet in Asheville sometime.
Yeah, it won't take much to convince me to go back to Asheville. So
probably not. So here's what I want to get into. Now, hopefully people are listening to this podcast are familiar with you, Zach, and the things you're doing. Because Zach's a physical therapist and a strength coach, avid blogger and educator at this point. And what I wanted to do is get a chance to chat with Zach on the podcast about developing a personal brand. Because I think he's somebody that's done a really good job of that within our profession. So why don't you do this, Zach? Give everybody kind of a background as to like who you are and what you're up to now within kind of the PT training conditioning realm.
Cool. Well, I graduated from East Carolina University about 5 years ago with my degree in physical therapy. Prior to that, I'd been able to work in strength conditioning at both the high school and college levels. When I was an undergrad at UNC Chapel Hill, I worked for the football team for 2 years, got out from PT school and was working in just a general ortho clinic, trying to turn that ortho clinic into more of a sports center, which was ridiculously hard when most of your patient population was Medicare and too much workers' comp. And it just, you know, when you get athletes in there, they don't get the athlete feeling there.
Yeah.
So after doing that for 2 years, you know, I was kind of tired of it. So I just started really working on personal branding and basically tried to force myself into the arena that I wanted to be in, started putting out content because I had that strength and conditioning background. I had the physical therapy background. I started putting out content around, how to train smarter, how to train and stay healthier, how to improve your movement quality as a whole. And the more and more of that I put out and kind of forced myself into that CrossFit Olympic lifting, powerlifting world, the more people sought me out for that. And I was fortunate enough to get into a time where, mobility wide stuff was really taking off. And so that was really pushing a lot of guys like you and me forward when we had more athletes actively seeking information like that out.
I think that's 100% accurate. I mean, people forget, you know, when Kelly got into some of this stuff, like the origin story of some of that, like, you know, like the original blog posts he had, very few people read them. The first courses he taught on some of this stuff were, it was a very hard sell initially. And as that started to catch
catch fire a little bit and become popular, it really did help people like you and I that kind of fit that hybrid role that he was, you know, pushing so much. So, so some of it's timing, but some of it is frankly just the willingness to put the work in, you know? So mm-hmm. when you talk about developing content, what was the platform that you first started with in terms of getting your message out there?
Well, initially I actually, I reached out to CrossFit Journal was probably the first big, well, I'll take that back. Even when I was in physical therapy school, I was blogging on my website. And I really did that just as a way, I wasn't even really promoting it or anything. I was just doing it as a way to force myself to stay up on new things. And then I started writing for CrossFit Journal, just a variety of different topics from like the biomechanics of the snatch to shoulder and hip health. And my little sister came to me and she's like, dude, and my little sister's in marketing. She's like, you're doing all this work for CrossFit Journal, but you're not promoting yourself. She's like, you need to get on this Instagram thing and start doing that and on Facebook and start promoting there. And I'm at the time, dude, I had Facebook. I didn't have Twitter. I didn't have Instagram. I was not on social media at all. I actually made fun of my wife for having Twitter. And she's like, you just got to start getting on there and putting something up every single day. And so I started doing it. I started putting up on Instagram and Facebook. I put up a video or picture or something informative every week. Every single day for like 2 months without missing a single day. Connecting that with my website that was already active, I rebranded it to the Barbell Physio and just kept putting out more and more content, putting an article out every week, and then almost every single day of the week, putting a post out on social media. And it just continued to grow. And the more I did it and the more consistent I was with it, the more I grew.
So in that 2 months, right? So I think this is where, many people fall off in terms of consistency. Like you hear this a lot. Anybody that's done any personal branding successfully that has developed a social media following of any type or successful blog, they always harp on the fact that consistency is key, right? Mm-hmm. So what did you notice after that first 2 months? Like how much of a difference did you see in terms of a following that you had on, let's say, Instagram or even activity that you noticed on your blog analytics?
And I feel like, I want to say it was like 5 months in, I remember hitting 3,000 followers and I was unbelievably pumped about 3,000 followers.
Sure.
Which sounds funny now. But it was slow. And so many people are going to quit and stop after that 3,000 followers. And you just got to keep going and keep going. And eventually you plug the right thing and it hits. So for me, I eventually hit I put one post out of me laying on the ground, laying prone, doing a behind the neck barbell press with a Lumalite bar, which is just a killer exercise for the upper back.
Sure.
And that post blew up and got, you know, hundreds of thousands of views and jumped my followers forward several thousand. And then I just continued to narrow in what were the topics and things and exercise types that people wanted to see and gave them enough of that to continue growing consistently.
So I think this is just really valuable. So what you're describing is really like taking a look at your data and figuring out what is has the most amount of reach and then doing more of that, right? So what things are you looking at? Let's talk about, let's say Instagram in particular. Okay. So you're happy to get to 3,000 and now you're at what, 80 something?
Yeah. Instagram is somewhere in the 80s.
Facebook. Okay. So significantly more. So, yeah. so let's say Instagram. All right. So, you put a video every day, have you noticed video seems to be the thing for you that is a lot more engaged with than like a picture? A
video typically, but pictures too. And it's not that I'm always worried about putting something that I think is like sexy and is going to get a bunch of likes. Well, I'm not putting any sexy videos up of myself. Although that might
help. They're all sexy, bro. They're all sexy.
I see all these people in these like tight yoga shorts and they're getting all sorts of likes and follows. Maybe I need to start doing that.
If you and I did that, we would get unfollowed.
so we always talk in the digital marketing world about your avatar. So I knew day one, I knew who my actual person that I was marketing to was. And essentially it was myself as somebody that loves moving weight around, loves CrossFit, Olympic lifting, powerlifting, but doesn't have a physical therapy degree is who I was always marketing to. And so whether it's a picture or video, like videos typically do better, but I'm not too concerned about that. And I'm not scared of posting pictures up. But what I'm really looking for is the interaction, the response I get. not just likes, but like, you know, are people tagging their friends? Are they engaging in dialogue in the comments? Honestly, I look for if every now and then I'm making some people mad and I'm ruffling some feathers because there's too much dogma in the strength and conditioning and physical therapy world. And sometimes you need people to push the edge. Like that prone barbell press, I see that thing everywhere now. Every time I get on social media, I feel like I'm seeing some variation of that. And I was the first person that I'd ever seen press a barbell laying prone. And I got some horribly nasty comments, like people saying, man, if I see you do that in my gym, I'll come, you know, smack you across the face. just like nonstop comments like that. And dude, the first time that happens and I got that negative feedback, I was so pumped because I was like, great, I'm making a difference.
Sure.
It's not always a positive difference in an example like that. But, you know, you want to get some engagement going there, some actual comments and discussion that make people think critically about what they're doing.
That's really good feedback. If you want to get in a heated debate with people, just put something up about the Jefferson curl and see what happens, you know, because there people are so, you know, they have their viewpoint on something like that of, you know, flexion and what that does to the, you know, the annular fibers and loading versus unloading and how much load can you take? It's crazy. And 'cause it's like, you know, it's just a movement, right? But people get very heated about that. I can imagine they did that with your overhead press.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point with your, you know, social media and your blog posts, it seems like you do a good job of tying them both together. Like it's a concept called owning the race course, where you're kind of pointing these social media platforms back to your primary platform, which is your website, which you own, right?
Right.
So have you noticed that, is there a linear kind of correlation between I get more people that follow me on Instagram and the analytics of my blog go up as well?
There is. And actually at this point, I don't care what my social media followers are. If you gave me a magic button to push, you know, 100,000 extra people on there tomorrow, it doesn't really matter to me. I'm actually more focused on, you know, what's happening traffic wise on the website. And actually more importantly to me, what's happening with the newsletter. Are people signing up for the newsletter? Because that means I'm more than just, you know, a decent post every now and then to them. They want me to directly reach out to them on a regular basis for more content. That's the metric by which I initially grade how my business is doing. Now, obviously I want dollar signs at the end of it. But that to me is the big step in the right direction. Is, are they going from social media to the newsletter to the website? Are they then purchasing products?
Well, that's the whole point, right? I mean, like this is there's no secret that what you do and what anybody does, it generates a lot of content, requires a lot of time, yes. Right? And if you're putting a lot of time towards that, then there's an opportunity cost that you're missing out on being able to put time towards something else. You know, so you and I are having a conversation right now. If we saw a patient for an hour, we would make X amount of money,
right?
And but the goal is to leverage this information to other people, educate them, build trust with them and a relationship, and then be able to serve them with some product as well at some point, right? And that's just business. And so for you with the newsletter, where what have you seen to in terms of successful tactics that you've noticed in terms of getting more people on your newsletter?
So right now in the digital space, the big thing is give to people, give to people, give to people, then ask. So you can get tons of free articles, tons of free exercises and assessments via social media and my website. But then I'm going to package that all up a little nicer in a freebie. So, you might download. So something that I market to CrossFit coaches all the time is I have this little checklist. It's like a 5-step checklist to identify really quickly where your athlete's squat limitation is. So if you got a group of 15, you don't have the time that you and I do to break somebody's entire squat out piece by piece. This will just let you know in 1 minute where this person needs to focus their energy at. Do they need to work on ankle mobility, hip mobility? Do they need to work on their motor control? And so, you know, I'll run Facebook ads or put it on my Instagram story or Instagram feed for CrossFit coaches or Olympic lifting coaches, whoever it is, to download the squat mobility checklist. And they go download it. It's a great resource for free that helps a lot of people out and it's really going to make an impact in the athletes that they work with. And then I'm going to follow up on that email with other emails that are going to say, all right, like that squat mobility checklist was good, but you're going to have some athletes that you need to go deeper with than just this squat mobility checklist. You need more than just this five steps to figure out what's going on with their squat. So you need to check out this product, this Master the Squat product, where I take you through every test, every mobility drill, every corrective exercise that I use with 99% of the people that show up in my office needing help with their squat. And so now, somebody's told me from that freebie that they want to know more about the squat.
Totally.
So what do I do? Follow up with a product that's going to then enhance their skill set more and then allow me to financially benefit from all the work that I put in.
Well, I think you could apply that to pretty much any niche. Like what you're describing is, relevant information followed up with more detailed information that has context to it, right? Because right. you could go to YouTube and pretty much learn how to do anything. Mm-hmm. But the context of that content is the challenging part. Organization of it is a challenging part. So for you at this point, what's the strategy like with the newsletter and for your email list in terms of, paid traffic to try to develop that? Or is it primarily organic traffic that's coming to your website via, the blog post that you have?
There is paid advertising there. And to be honest with you, I don't pay attention to how much money I spend on the paid. Our friend Johnny, who runs your podcast, he takes care of that for me. But we don't spend a whole lot on it just because I've figured out a number of ways to continually get people signing up for that for free by putting it in my Instagram story or on social media posts or within a blog post. If you go, check out a blog post on how to fix the butt wink in the squat, there's going to be little sign up forms within that blog post that would then allow you to download the squat mobility checklist. So there's just funnels placed everywhere so that no matter what avenue you're coming to me through, you're going to see advertisements or ways to get signed up for the newsletter.
Well, we're going to get in the weeds a little bit with this in terms of, like the technical side of things. But if let's say you have somebody that signs up for the squat funnel, right? And a funnel, for those of you listening to this, if you're not familiar with some of the kind of digital marketing terms, is basically just an entry point into somebody's, drip sequences or educational sequences via a newsletter in this case. And so what will happen is there's something like clickbait, they call it, or an opt-in, piece of content to get them in. And then you're engaging with them with the goal of giving them more information, building trust, and then eventually that they become a customer of yours, right? So in a sequence like that, let's say it's the squat sequence, how long are you engaging with somebody to try to get them to actually purchase your digital product?
So the way I'm set up is when you would download something like that squat funnel, you'll get hit with a couple follow-ups in the weeks after. And then there's kind of like a little break period for me where, if whether you buy or not, I'm not following you up with more sales tactics. But you will still be getting like my weekly email newsletter talking about, my this week's blog post is on X. And then, a little ways down the road, you might get hit up for a different similar product just because everybody that's on my newsletter costs me money. So whether you buy that first product or buy something later, like it costs me money to run my website, to have you on my email newsletter. It costs me time out of my schedule that I could be seeing patients to do this social media and writing stuff. So you have to continually be willing to sell to other human beings and not have a problem with that.
Well, absolutely. And not only that, but like, it's not like we're selling some bullshit. You're selling, really good information that's taking you a lot of time and money to learn, and there's nothing wrong with that. Right. I feel like in many cases, physical therapists, we have like this really like poor relationship with, money and sales and business. And we feel like those things have negative connotations, to them. And a lot of it is because for many of us, we would do this stuff for free if we could, like if it was, if everything was paid for and you didn't have to worry about mortgage or food on the table or whatever, and all you, we could just say, oh, cool, you can help people and everything else is good to go. Many of us would probably say, hell yeah, dude, that sounds awesome. Cause I just want to help people with back pain or, I want to help people get back into a healthy lifestyle. So I feel like in a lot of cases we can have some negative stuff, just kind of, we have to work through. Did you have any issues with that when you first started going from free content to selling something?
I've never had problems with that. Just always been somebody that if I'm proud of what I'm doing and I'm confident in what I'm doing, I'm not going to have any trouble selling it. And I know that my time is valuable what I'm doing, you know, cost me time away from my family. So I better get compensated for it. I've certainly had some people reach out and say some negative things about that. And I've had not too long ago, had a physical therapist send me a nasty email about a sales email that I sent him. And I'm like, dude, do you treat patients for free? No, like this is part of my job. And he's like, you know what, if you really wanted me to know this information, you would have just given it to me for free. And I'm like, what's your problem, dude? you got to support your family.
Yeah. And no, that does happen though. You know, we get that with people that, you know, that they want to do like a business consulting call with me, you know, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, cool. Yeah. I want to set up an hour consulting call with Danny. When they find out what the consulting fee is for us to sit down and hash out their business, you know, people will balk it and they're like, oh man, I thought it was free, you know? And what they don't understand is that there's an opportunity cost that you're missing out on. Right. And there's other projects that you could be working on. There's other things you could be working on that generate revenue. And in many cases, it's just not that I don't think that they mean to come off that way. And they may have no idea probably what you put into all the work that's taken to build that platform. So, I think that's just going to happen no matter, you know, what the business is.
If it's free, they also wouldn't pay attention to it as well.
And so then, true.
You know, for both of us too, like at this point in our career, could you imagine if you took every one of those sales calls for free? And I know you want to help every physical therapist out there develop their business, because I know how passionate you are about your company and what that's allowed you to do with your family. But if you try to help everybody else out to do that, you would have zero time in your life. And if I was trying to help everybody that reaches out to me, you know, through an email or Instagram message, there'd be zero way I would be productive at all.
That's totally true. I remember I was with Kelly teaching a course. This was a couple of years ago, maybe about a year into me kind of starting my practice. And one thing that I noticed with him is, number one, his phone's always on silent, and so is mine at this point. And he gets called all the time. Just like people just get a hold of his number and call all the time, you know? And, I'm like, aren't you going to answer that? He's like, no, if it's important, they'll leave a message. And if I think it's important, I'll call him back, you know? And that's so true. And eventually you have to start to kind of become protective of your time. Because it really is the one thing we cannot get more of, you know, like you cannot change the fact that everybody has 24 hours in the day. And what you do with that, really how you leverage that is how you can create a lifestyle for you and your family that you're striving to be able to create. And you're right. You can absolutely get sucked into the game of, God, I want to help everybody. And you and I totally, trust me, we would love to do that. But eventually we have to make these decisions. And it is sort of challenging. You know, you kind of feel like a jackass at first.
Yeah. I actually just listened to a really good podcast the other week, Tim Ferriss, like How to Say No.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you heard that one or not, but I took notes on it because it's just something that you got to get better at as time goes on and being able to politely decline stuff. And I basically right now, like I've implemented a policy for the first half of this year. Like if somebody comes to me with a good business opportunity, it's a no, like point blank, zero.
Yeah.
I don't have time for anything else. So it's just always a no right now.
Well, and eventually as you start to build your brand, and the goal is people listening to this can start to take some of the things that you found to be successful and implement them and start to build their personal brand as well. And that they can leverage that into any number of different things. But what'll happen is as you start to develop a reputation, a positive reputation within the community, whatever niche that might be, people will inherently start to reach out to you with things that could potentially be beneficial for you. And sometimes it's challenging to figure out what opportunities are the ones you should actually take and the ones you should just say no to.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so, like what criteria at this point, you know, do you look at in terms of what's the most important thing of all the things that you do right now? What's the most important thing that you could focus on in, you know, this month to drive your business forward?
So what I look for, I just accepted one opportunity. And basically the reasoning I accepted that responsibility or this thing was the names that it was going to put me up there alongside of teaching for a company, an online platform rather that Louis Simmons is one of their speakers.
Cool.
The strength and coach for the All Black rugby team is one of the guys there. Just a ton of like top notch names like that. Guys that are, you know, a step up from most people. And when you can put yourself in a room with people like that, even if it's just a digital room, it helps to elevate the brand. So it needs to elevate the brand. It needs to, in some way, have the potential long-term to financially be a very good move. That doesn't mean that I have to make X amount of dollars with every move I make right now, but something like that platform there may not be the best financially for me, but to be, you know, connected with guys like that is going to be well worth it long-term. And it's also going to expose me to a lot of their followers who are kind of in a similar realm to me, like people that are going to follow like Westside Barbell.
Yeah.
Those are people that are going to be likely to be interested in how to improve their squat mechanics. So that's going to expose my products, my information to people that are a slightly bit outside of my circle right now, help my circle expand a little bit.
You know, and one thing maybe everybody picked this up is the fact that we haven't talked about direct patient care one bit, right? I mean, that is definitely, when we look at revenue streams within, you know, somebody's, you know, personal kind of revenue generation. You know, at this point, we've talked about you write articles for CrossFit, mm-hmm. you teach for another company, you have digital products, different variations of one-off products and a membership product, and we haven't even talked about the fact that you actually see patients as well, right?
Yeah, so I'm trying to basically have multiple streams of revenue that are all connected, but set up such that, you know, if I have a week where my patient care is down, my patient care was down this week. We had snow last week and it just kind of threw everything off. So I was, you know, I saw 8 patients less than I would typically see, which, you know, 8 patients at $80 a pop for insurance minus, you know, the percentage I make, I lost a good bit of money there. But guess what? I just went and worked on an article, worked on some social media posts, things like that are going to generate revenue another way. So whether I'm busy in the clinic or not busy in the clinic, I've got revenue coming in from multiple different streams so that I'm always consistently doing, you know, what I want to be doing financially.
And there's a lot of security with that too, right?
Dude, I used to get so freaked out because in the clinic that I work at, I'm a percentage-based employee. Like I don't have a salary. I don't even have a guaranteed salary. I just get a straight percentage of every dollar that I bring in for the company, which is awesome when I'm kicking butt in the clinic and I'm, you know, booked at 95% capacity. I'm having an amazing week. But I used to get freaked out if I was down, like, you know, if I was at 85%, like I'm mad that I had like 2 openings one day. Now I'm like, oh, that's fine. I need to catch up on, you know, answer some emails. I need to write this article for CrossFit Journal. I need to do this, this work on this project that's going to be, you know, launching in 2 months. So no matter what, I'm doing something that's financially beneficial.
And the other thing too is I think it's important for practitioners that are listening to this. There's definitely a lot of students that listen to this, younger PTs that kind of fall in particular into like more of a hybrid role that you and I do. And understanding that when you're in school or you just get out of school, the only thing you can think of is like, how do I make more money seeing patients? And you know, like there's a couple options for that. You can see more patients and you can, you know, create some sort of percentage-based structure like you did and say, you know, cool, hey, I'm cool to bet on myself. I'd rather take a bigger percentage and just take, if I have a down week, I have a down week. If I have an awesome week, it's going to be reflected in what I get paid. You can work multiple jobs and see more patients in different places. You know, you can go out on your own and you can start to build a business where there's really no ceiling as to what you make, but there's a lot more risk. Or the other side of things is looking at some of the digital information, opportunities that are out there and your ability to leverage your knowledge and your time into products that are sold once you have them set up, that are sold when you're frankly not even there. Like how many times do you wake up in the morning and somebody has bought something that you have on your website?
Every single morning.
Every day. Do you remember the first time that happened?
I don't remember the first time. I remember the first week where I made more money online than I made in the clinic, working 40 hours in the clinic. That was awesome.
I vividly remember the first time that somebody bought a product while I was asleep, a digital product. As I woke up in the morning, and I mean, it was like $40 or something like that. And it wasn't much. But I remember thinking, holy shit, I made money while I was asleep. You know, you hear that. People say that. But it does happen, right? So, you know, the other thing is the scale of that is dramatically more, because let's say you can see 40 people in a week in your practice. Well, how many millions of people out there may potentially be interested in something you have to, you know, offer them?
Yeah. I had a month where I had 13,000 people buy a program. Excuse me, 1,300 people, 13,000, 1,300 people bought a program. It wasn't a very expensive program, but 1,300, I was able to impact 1,300 people's lives in a week.
You know, and was that like some sort of like, was that like during a launch, or was that just, hey, this was just like a really good month for the digital side of stuff?
That was the launch of a program that one of my business partners made to get your first strict ring muscle up.
Cool. Yeah. And
yeah, we didn't barely even promote it.
Something so simple. Yeah. But you have a list, right? So yeah. Like, okay, what's the size of your email list at this point?
20,000.
Okay, so that's a lot. So if you're listening to this and you don't know what an email list is, it's people that have opted in on your email list to communicate with you, right? Like our clinic, we've seen about 1,200 people locally in the last three and a half years since we opened up. So we have those people are on our email list. They're on our newsletter each month going out, right? So 20,000 is a lot. And that's 20,000 people all over the world for the most part.
Yep.
You know, and just you being able to engage with them and something as simple as get your first muscle up. Like, you know, like how many people wish they could do a muscle up, right? So smart to come up with a simple program in a low, you know, low entry point for them to actually be able to do that. And then, you know, you make money off. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
So look, Zach, going forward, you know, you got a lot of different things you're working on If you could give some advice to somebody listening to this that's interested in developing a personal brand and eventually delving into the digital realm of business, what advice would you give them?
Two things. Something my dad always told me was a quote, "Don't ask yourself what the world needs. Ask yourself what makes you come alive, because what the world needs is people who have come alive." So if you're doing what you're really passionate about, you're going to go a lot further. Working on my website does not feel like work. I love doing it. I was exhausted after 4 days in the clinic last night, and I don't work in the clinic on Fridays anymore. But I came home Friday night exhausted from work and spent 2 hours reading research articles that are going to directly relate to what I'm doing on my website and in my seminars. And that's one thing. The other thing is I've seen a lot of people that kind of become copycats. Somebody comes up big in one area and then 10 other people try to do the exact same thing. I think a lot of people are a lot better off if they look for the holes. Where are the gaps in what somebody has done in the past, or where is nobody currently at, and attack that market. Yeah. If you come in I'm thinking of somebody specific right now and I don't want to say it. But if you come in and you completely try to knock off somebody's brand that's already built themselves up, I don't think you're ever going to be more than a second tier person to that person. So figure out holes and ways to differentiate yourself.
That's great advice. You got a smart dad. That's a great, quote. I've never heard that.
High school football coach, and learned more about business from him than I have from anybody.
Really?
Yep.
But isn't that funny, man? Like that, totally. With some of the people that are impactful on your life, it's just looking back it's remarkable. But Zach, this has been a great conversation, man. I really appreciate your time and jumping on this. I'm sure everybody listening to this is going to get a lot out of it. And you know, if they want to check out what you have going on, like where can they see your blog or follow you on Instagram or social media and reach out to you?
Go to thebarbellphysio.com. That's kind of where everything comes together. Obviously I'm on all those social medias, but I tend to try to put the big picture together on the website. So you'll see random Instagram posts that don't mean a whole lot. You need the context of it. So go to thebarbellphysio.com.
Perfect. There you go, guys. So guys, go follow Zach on his social media. Go check out the blog post, some great stuff on there. And as always, thanks for listening to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast.